she inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and informative place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks so much for joining us. We have a very special show today, one that will truly touch the hearts of thousands, and I so mean that. It's all about old dogs, about two remarkable women who worked together to publish one of the most touching books I've ever put my hands on, and I don't say that lightly, and how this book actually impacts the behavior of millions of people who adopt old dogs each year. And it's a special show because it has been supported in loving memory of Pam Hodges. She is a true lover of all animals and is passionate about that their care and well-being. So thank you to the Hodges family for making this show possible. So why, might you ask, is Mrs. Green doing a show about rescuing old dogs? What has that got to do with preservation of the planet and climate change? And my answer is everything, because an integral part of climate change is overconsumption and our disposable society and making too much of this and not recycling that. So I call adoption of pets the ultimate recycling. We're taking care of the four-leggeds. And if you get the book that I refer to throughout the show, My Old Dog, you'll find human interest stories in it that will touch your heart about the senior center in Seattle that has the largest population of dogs that nobody wants, the old dogs. It's called something like the old dog shelter, and the seniors that are taking care of those dogs that nobody wants. There's another story in there that will touch your heart about Chaney and how he got reunited with his former handler from Afghanistan. And they used to sniff out mines together, and his owner came home, went into a very deep depression, and what it took to get Chaney back to his handler. So to me, it's climate change and the social justice piece. It's about caring. It's about being aware. It's about remembering that we are all connected, including connected to the four-leggeds. So when I say make it a great green day, I mean a great green, sustainably lived day. And the four-leggeds are a part of our world, and taking care of them makes the planet a better, healthier, and safer place. So that's why Mrs. Green is doing an interview about old dogs and why it's important to rescue them. Now, please join me in welcoming two very special guests, both of whom are self-avowed dog nuts and animal lovers, and I can attest to that for sure. The first is Laura Coffey. She is a writer, editor, and producer of Today.com, the website of NBC's Today Show. A journalist with more than two decades of experience, Laura has written and edited hundreds of high-profile human interest stories for Today.com since 2008, going on 10 years. She is also the author of My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts, which she published in collaboration with Lori Fasaro, the staff photographer at Best Friends Animal Society in Los Angeles and owner of Fasaro Photography. The book is honestly not to be believed, but more about that in this hour. Joining me in studio is a wonderful friend and a boots-on-the-ground representative from the pet adoption world. Her name is Karen Hollish, and she is the Director of Development and Marketing at Pima Animal Care Center, where she and her team work tirelessly to help the approximately 20,000 pets who come through her shelter each year. Welcome, both of you. I can't remember being more excited about a show, because it's the ultimate recycling and it's about something happy. So, Laura, thank you. I know you're busy and in demand. And Karen, I know you have a lot of dogs to play. So thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Okay, so Laura, let's start with you, because I think one of the most exciting parts about the book is how the collaboration with Lori began after you wrote a story about her senior shelter pets for Today.com. What happened and how did the magic begin?
Yeah, you know, so this My Old Dog book actually did begin as a feature story on today.com that went viral. And back in the summer of 2013, I wrote a feature story about Lori Fusaro, Los Angeles photographer, who had been donating her time on the weekends to go into these very overburdened county animal shelters that unfortunately had high euthanasia rates because they couldn't turn any pets away. And she would go in on the weekends, and she would volunteer her time to take very high-quality photographs of the animals at the shelter, because people often will connect with a photograph online. You know, their first encounter with an animal they may actually adopt will happen on the Internet. And if there's a really good photo where you see the animal's eyes and you see the animal's personality, you can start to envision this pet being, you know, your family dog or your family cat, right? You can imagine it, as opposed to a little mugshot where you see the cage and right. It's not a nice
very
photo,
different.
Right?
Yes.
Where it looks like a little inmate, like the So anyway, she would go in and every weekend take these really nice photos of these animals to increase their chances of getting adopted. And the thing that she was noticing weekend after weekend was that the older ones were not making it out. They just were not getting adopted, and it was really weighing on her. And one weekend she went and she met she tried to engage with a dog at the shelter named Shady, who was clearly very sick. The dog had been an owner surrender, had been dropped off, was 16 years old, had a variety of health issues and looked, you know, like this dog wasn't doing particularly well, but Shady would not engage with Lori, wouldn't look up, wouldn't raise her head. And Lori went to her car and cried and cried and cried and could not stop thinking about this dog. And she made this impromptu decision without even discussing it with her husband. But she made this decision. She's going to take this dog home and give this dog a lot of love and make sure that this dog doesn't die alone in a shelter, because there's no way anyone was going to adopt this dog in the state she was in. So she brings the dog home and she renames the dog Sunny. So she gives the dog a more optimistic name and brings this dog home. And she and her husband, Daryl, thought they might take care of this dog for a few days, maybe a week tops. And what do you know? But they bring Sunny home, and Sunny just blossoms. And they didn't do any big heroic medical care or anything, but they just, Sunny was just so happy and relieved to be out of that stressful situation that she thrived. And she ended up living with Lori and Daryl and their other pets for almost 3 years.
I mean, that
it was
is,
not a week. And this was not a hospice situation.
And she stayed married.
Yes, she did. Lori's married to a really good guy who is a very lovable, you know, guy who loves animals, too. So it all worked out. And so that is how this all began. And so she was so affected by this experience of taking Sunny home and seeing how Sunny, how happy Sunny was. And how much Sunny still had to give, you know, how much love she had to give and how much fun she was and how much she appreciated being in a wonderful family home, you know, with other dogs and cats, that she thought, I need to do a photography project. I need to do something to put a spotlight on senior shelter animals and try to change people's perceptions of senior shelter animals. So this is how this began. She started this really beautiful photography project, and I spotted that online, and then I wrote a feature story about her effort to change people's viewpoint, you know, of senior shelter animals, not be afraid of them, not think that it's too sad, realize how happy and meaningful it can be to help them. And the story included the background of Lori's adoption of Sunny, and the story went completely crazy, and it got shared all over the world, and it just kept going and going and going. And then we realized that this was really resonating with people, and we should maybe team up and do a book together.
And every day, in every way, it's something, it's a touchstone for joy at a time when I think we need there's much need for joy out there in the world right now.
Right.
And it's the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, I think that I would get in a lot of trouble if I didn't mention it, the timing of everything. You know, we're pre-recording this podcast, and my daughter, Katie, in L.A., she picked up a foster yesterday named Luna.
Hooray.
And it is adorable. I know. Aww. Karen's cheering. And it was, I just thought, what timing? And of course, you know, we are love our daughter, and we did FaceTime last night, and I'm so proud of them for not going for the pedigree high-end. My daughter Emily and her husband Ben, they have, they got a puppy, and it was the same story, Laura. It was, they saw it on social media, they live in Taos, they went down, and the rest is history. You know what I mean? It was just remarkable. So let's, I don't want to digress, but I'm proud that my kids are walking the walk as well. So, but you have to go a little bit into, you know, I was just honored to host you as a moderator at the Tucson Festival of Books, and I so loved that. But tell us a little bit about the actual process for writing My Old Dogs, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. How did you ever, in heaven's name, pick the dogs? How long was the process? Tell us a little bit about Inside Edition, about the road trips, and give us the scoop. You've got the time, and well, Karen's here to be support for me, and I've got some great questions for her, but we want to hear your story.
Well, you know, it was such a wonderful and life-changing experience getting to work on My Old Dog. The funny thing was, Lori and I had talked on the phone a lot, and we clicked and realized that, you know, this was something really, really special. And we had been approached by an agent who thought this could potentially be a book, and then we went through the process of, you know, I put together a book proposal, and we did find publishers who were interested in it. And
so,
there was this whole process that led up to this big, big moment where Lori and I realized we were going to go on the road, and we were going to try to find these senior dog, you know, adoption success stories. And we wanted the book to be very happy, wanted the stories, it's a collection of success stories, and we wanted them to be happy but not sappy schmarmy, but very, very different.
So and that real, yes.
Every single story would be different, not repetitive, you know, and coming at it from a very different angle. There was this process ahead of time of doing, I was just doing a tremendous amount of reporting and talking with people at senior-specific rescue groups around the United States. There are actually a lot of them. And talking with people at shelters and talking with, just finding these stories and determining where, you know, it would make the most sense to travel so we could travel efficiently. But there was this moment where it was go time, and we were really going to do this, and we were going to do the New England section. You know, yeah, this is really happening, right? And we're going to do the New York and New England states, you know, section of the book, and go get those stories. Lori would take the photos, and I would, you know, hang out with it. We would just spend time with everybody in person. It was very important to us also to eyewitness everything and, you know, make sure these stories were really, really great, and the dogs were really in good places and all of that good stuff. But Lori and I had never met in person before.
You're going on a long road trip.
So here's this moment where it was, you know, late 2014, I believe, by this point. And we, she lives in L.A., I live in Seattle. We flew to New York, and we met in person. And you know, you're kind of hoping, well, I sure hope we're going to like each other. And we hugged, and we rented a car, and we went on an eight-day road trip together. And it worked out great. It was this magical thing where we call each other, you know, Lucy and Ethel. I'm not sure which one's Lucy and which one's Ethel, but
it's a good combo.
Just crazy stuff that happened, driving and getting lost and going all over the place and, you know, falling. I would try to be her assistant in these photo shoots, and I'm getting covered and you don't even want to know what.
Probably don't.
It was just crazy, but we had so much fun. And so that was the beginning of and of many trips we did together, because, you know, we wanted a good geographic variety and you know, just to really show that the book ends up containing stories from, you know, there are people in their 20s to their late 80s, all of whom did this kind and compassionate thing of taking in an older shelter animal who otherwise would have run out of options, right? Really, this was a point where they really needed a place to go, and these people did this kind thing, took the animal in, and then their lives got so much better, I mean exponentially better, because they took the dogs in, and you end up being so happy for the humans and the dogs because you see how life-changing it was for the people.
You've got the
just
proof
like it was for
right
Lori.
There. Yes, yes. I mean, you've got the proof. So what, when you started out, was it your intention to do rescue dogs? I mean, old dogs, because that ends up being the name of the book. Or was it going to be every dog, and then My Old Dog came about? Or how did that, you know, at what point in the process was that decision made? Was it from the get-go?
From the get-go, we were going to focus on older shelter dogs who had been given a second chance, largely because of this experience that that Lori had with Sunny.
Right.
What she was seeing in the Los Angeles County shelters, and that's what sparked the senior dog specific, you know, photography project, which led to the senior focus of the story, which led to the, you know, senior focus of the book deal.
Right. If you give a mouse a cookie,
that's how it all kind of snowballed. But we ended up, I called and dealt with, you know, so many wonderful organizations around the country. There's actually a senior dog rescue movement that's a legitimate, you know, bona fide movement that didn't exist 10 to 12 years ago. And now it's really vibrant, and people have caught on and have realized how happy and special it is, you know, to give an older dog a second chance.
So let's talk about that a little bit more, because I want go a little bit deeper in that about why are you so completely and totally in love with them, and what is so special about it? I think people need to hear that, because if they get the book, they'll get it. They don't even have to read the book. They can just go through and look at the pictures. But the book, no, the stories in it are just, they just suck you in. I mean, it's amazing. So what is so special about old dogs, senior dogs, whatever you want to call them?
Well, you know, whether you adopt them as seniors or you have your dog, you know, grow old with you, you know, over years of time, and you watch it happen, there's a sweetness factor that just cranks up with age, and older dogs are calm and more mellow. I mean, not all of them are completely calm.
Right.
Some of them have a tremendous amount of energy and vim and vigor still, you know, for a long, long, long time, longer than you might think. But generally speaking, they're less rambunctious than younger dogs. They're very sweet and very lovable. Another big bonus about adopting them at this stage of their lives is that they're often already house trained, which is a very big deal for people with busy lifestyles.
Right.
You know, a lot of times you might think a puppy is the only way to go, but puppies are adorable. And there are, you know, younger dogs who definitely need help and need to be rescued too. I mean, we're not trying to be
right, we're not leaving anybody out in this conversation,
but it's kind of interesting to note that a dog over the age of about 6 or 7, which is interestingly when veterinarians will, you know, consider a dog to be senior, 7 for a smaller breed dog and 6 for a larger breed dog, dogs in that age category, they can have years and years of adventure and comedy and love ahead of them, and yet you're coming in at this really great part where they're already house trained, they're calmer, they're really focused on you, they're very grateful. I have had the question, you know, is that anthropomorphizing a little bit? But I do think animals feel emotions, and they are tuned in to the room, and they pick up on what's going on. And at the very least, I don't think it's a stretch to say that they're very relieved.
If people don't think dogs have emotions, they have never been around them.
They haven't had a dog.
I mean, they have not had a dog. I mean, I remember our dog at home. My mother and father would get out the suitcases like 2 days before a trip, and they'd start to freak out. I'm sorry. They are smart, and they know what's going on, and they sense things. So, I think that's amazing. Okay, so if you finish that thought, Karen, thanks for your patience, but you are boots on the ground. And Laura, did you want to complete that sentence? I don't want to interrupt, that's for sure.
No, that's it. It's just that you get the idea that these dogs at this stage of their lives, in many ways, you're coming in at the very best part of their lives, and they really provide a tremendous amount of snuggly companionship.
Yes.
And they're so happy to be with you, and they make such great buddies at this age. So that is where I think this movement has really caught on, because
the adoptability
it feels so
factor.
Good to help them.
Yes.
To help them at this point, especially when, you know, they may not have had it. People may still have this little bias that, well, I want to get a younger dog. But it's okay. You bond with an older dog in an incredible way. And it's really nothing to be afraid of.
Right. So, Karen, you are boots on the ground. Your shelter is full.
Yes, ma'am.
You are really full. Do you have a sense of how many of your dogs are older dogs, and what is their adoptability factor as compared to these cute little puppies that everybody wants to cradle
Absolutely.
In their arms?
Well, first of all, you guys are preaching to the choir here.
I knew that.
I'm an old dog aficionado myself, and our shelter as of Monday had 370 dogs, so we are really at max capacity. I estimate about 10 to 20% of our pets at any given time would be classified as seniors, which we call every dog or cat who's 7 years old or up. We know that dogs can live a lot longer than 7 years, but that 7 year point is about the time when adoptability historically has decreased. We are finding locally that we have so many people interested in senior dogs. I ran the numbers last year for a story, and we're saving about 90% of the pets overall at our shelter, which is really awesome because, like Laura was saying, we're an open admission county shelter. We never turn away a pet in need. And that 90% mark holds true with our senior pets.
Amazing.
Yeah, people are really into them. And if we take a picture of a senior pet, and our veterinarians have a real soft spot for seniors too. They give them dental work and blood work, and these are all things we weren't able to do in years past, but we can do now. But, you know, we give people these fully loaded senior pets, and they just go gaga for them.
And it's, 90%. That's a statistic that blows me away.
We want to get as close to 100 as
no
we
kill.
Can.
I know it's a no-kill concept,
right.
and that's sweeping the country. And we had someone on from the Best Friends Animal Society.
I love Best Friends.
I know, one of the founders. So, I'm very familiar with that.
That's
so
wonderful.
We are going to take a very short break, and when we come back. Laura, I'd love to talk to you about the expense of adopting an older dog, and Karen, is there a special consideration to people who might be considering it, some things they need to think about? And then, of course, Laura, you know we have to talk about George Clooney. I warned you.
So we have Can you introduce him to me?
Yeah. Laura told me she was going to have him on the show. I'm just kidding. But I did make a joke saying in a guest appearance, so we have him calling in about 5 minutes. Not.
Aww.
Everybody stay here with me. We have lots more exciting things to talk about. My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts with Laura Coffey and Karen Hollish from Pima Animal Care Center. We'll be right back. Stay here with me.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and SpeakUp networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about the ultimate recycling, the adoption of pets from shelters. Joining us for this hour are Laura Coffey, author of the amazing and delightful book, My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. Go out and buy it. Get it on Amazon. Go to your used bookstore. Keep it around. It's good energy. Trust me, I'm happy it's in my house. Besides being a fun, funny, and overall delightful human being, Laura is a writer, editor, and producer for Today.com, the website of NBC's Today Show. A journalist with more than two decades of experience, Laura has written and edited hundreds of high-profile human interest stories for Today.com since 2008. Indeed, one of the stories she did resulted in the birthing of this amazing book and movement. And joining us in studio, another delightful human being, she is Karen Hollish, the Director of Development and Marketing at Pima Animal Care Center in Tucson, Arizona. Karen is also a lover of four-leggeds and someone on the ground who works very hard to find homes for as many as 20,000 animals who come through their shelter each year. Again, thank you both for being with us. So, Laura, let's talk about some of the... Are there sad parts to it? I get it, but do you kind of want to give people a heads up? It can be sad. They don't have as long a life expectancy, but sometimes isn't it they even live longer because they're in a loving home?
Yes. So here is the thing. None of us ever want to say goodbye to our dogs.
Right. It's
no
horrible.
Matter when.
Yes.
It's terrible. So, you know, let's not, you know, dance around the subject. It's an issue. It's a concern. And it's a valid one, for sure. And we never, ever want to say goodbye to them, ever. The thing about taking in an older dog who had nowhere else to go, and you enter the scene, and you come in and give that dog years of fun and excitement and happiness and adventure, is you know for sure that you are the person who made such a difference in this dog's life, and you see it firsthand. You know you did this profound thing for this little friend who otherwise wouldn't have had an option. And it's not that it's going to be an easy thing to say goodbye to them.
Right.
But even at that hardest point where the time does come, you'll know, first of all, the dog isn't afraid. The dog lives in the moment. The dog is not feeling the things that we feel and
right,
going through the things that we go through. The other thing to bear in mind is that even that hardest part of having a dog is infused with a measure of joy, because you know for sure that you made such an incredible difference in this little creature's life.
Right. You've got those
and
memories
forever. If you hadn't stepped in,
right.
You know, what would have happened? But what can happen? I mean, a dog could die alone and afraid in a shelter with no, you know, without that love and without someone there with him or her. And instead, it's so meaningful and it's so real. There are so many social issues and so many issues out there where it can be so hard, you know, to see these problems persisting. But this is one area where, first of all, the issue of, you know, reducing euthanasia in shelters is a solvable one.
Yes.
This is a fixable one, and it's improving and it's getting better. You know, just like you were saying, Karen, it's getting better and it can continue to get better. With this, there's something so special about knowing what you did, you know, to give this creature a place to go, that even the hardest part is not as bad as it might have been.
Right. And like I said, you can never do anything but hold on to those happy memories that you have. Karen, what are your thoughts about that? What do you tell people, or what's been your experience?
Well, just a personal anecdote. I am a collector of all ancient creatures. I just have a real soft spot for them. But the great thing is, so does our head veteran. So do all of our veterinarians and our community. So, you know, I've taken home a dog 3 years ago. His name's Choo Choo Bears, and he looked so sad in his kennel. And I thought, this dog is about 1 million years old at that point. And so I looked at him and thought, well, he's going to probably live a week or two, and why don't I just let him live it out in my home? And he just perked up. He's like the dog who never dies. But it's awesome because he's slow moving, he's cuddly, he's gentle, and he is, like Laura was saying, so grateful for this sort of second act in life. So I share that story with a lot of prospective adopters. And, you know, I also share how senior pets kind of come fully loaded with oftentimes a lot of good behaviors and training, like house training, and how they can be a much sort of more low impact investment than a puppy. So we're really finding, and thanks in large part to people like Laura, who are taking the movement to a national level, that folks are really coming around to senior pets.
So what about, for both of you, Laura, is there some part of it where there's a responsibility, or is it real that there can be a lot more expenses, health problems and dental problems? I do know about Pima County, and I do know about the largesse of our vets and how much they volunteer and contribute and help. So what do you have to consider? What are the realities you have to look at, Laura, when you're considering it?
Well, you know, just like with humans, you know, older animals, you know, can begin to have health issues. And that, again, is a valid concern. And it is not a crazy thing to wonder about and think about. But the really exciting thing and the very hope-inspiring thing that I found working on the My Old Dog book is that there are so many innovative programs popping up all around the United States to make this easier for people and to alleviate some of that concern about cost. In fact, I mean, just what you're talking about here, this example locally, you know, with the Pima Animal Care Center providing the veterinary care and the dental care ahead of time, before these dogs are adopted out, is that the dental care can be a huge expense, and a lot of senior dogs do need dental work. That's a really common, you know, issue for these
big
older
deal.
Dogs, yeah. and to have that taken care of. I mean, in the Seattle area, that could easily run more than $1,000, sometimes even more.
Right.
To have to take care of the dental issues that a dog might have accumulated by that point in their lives, and it's very worth it to do it because it's one of these little things that can make a dog act younger again, and give them their. You know, vim and vigor back. And can you imagine walking around with a toothache, you know, for 2 or 3 or 4 years?
And not being able to eat.
Right. And I've had some different senior dog rescue folks I've worked with here locally, and their joke is that teeth are overrated. Teeth are overrated. They'll still eat. They're going to be okay.
Oh,
and you can
God.
Help. There are ways you can help feed them. And sometimes getting those painful teeth extracted and taking care of whatever infection might have been going on there, it's like you get a puppy again. They come right back and they bound around and they are so joyful because they feel better.
I think we might have started
like
years
off their lives.
I think we might have started a new hashtag. Hashtag teeth are overrated. Let's see if we can make that go viral. That is just an epic thing to say, though. It's just amazing. That's really great. So, Karen, what do you want to chime in here? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, just to speak to that, before we were able to offer dentals prior to adoption on our senior dogs would languish at the shelter because folks were like, oh my gosh, am I getting into $600, $800, $1,000? But through community support, we were able to add additional veterinarians and get dental equipment donated. And like you said, our doctors work really hard. So we do find that when we're able to provide that service ahead of time, it makes adopters a lot more likely to take in a senior pet. So I know you have listeners all over the country. If you are, if you have a county shelter in your community, donate to them so that they can do this stuff for senior pets. Like, we wouldn't be able to do that if our community didn't want us to. And it makes a huge difference. And I agree that teeth are overrated. I have several dogs without any teeth and they just gum up the
you
food.
You yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. I just, every time I see Karen, Laura, I'm like, okay, how many you got? And I do want to add about the book. I mean, I really, the book is not just adorable and melts you and you're going ooh and ah and you keep it on your coffee table and then other people want to talk about it, but it's a great resource. There are lots of what you can do, and I'm going to mention it later in the show, but at the end of the book in part 5, I think, where you can go. You didn't just have it be a pretty thing. It's a functional thing. And we can comment on that a little bit later because we have to go on to George Clooney. Who doesn't want to hear a story, the inside scoop about George Clooney? I mean, come on.
Ooh.
It takes me. I have the bookmark on that page.
Oh, that's so funny.
All kidding aside, it was done beautifully and it's very compelling and touching, his piece.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When Lori and I were working on this in the beginning, we were thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to have some well-known people out there who had taken who had taken in senior shelter animals and include them in the book. And I was looking around for different examples of people out there who had done it, and this pipe dream was, wouldn't it be great to have George Clooney in the book?
Dreams come true, baby. You're like my idol of how to make it happen.
And because I had read that he had taken in a rescued shelter dog, a Cocker Spaniel named Einstein, and the story of Einstein, there were just some mentions of it online that I found, and I thought the story could be really, really amazing to, you know, really delve into this backstory of how George Clooney came to take in this dog named Einstein, who had been hours away from being put down at a shelter, who was morbidly obese and had all these health issues and thyroid issues and eye and ear issues and all these ongoing health issues for the rest of the dog's life, right? Right. And I'm like, okay, how did he end up with this dog and why? And I really wanted to know. And so I wound up jumping through a lot of hoops and going through this process of tracking down, you know, a representative for George Clooney and asked if George might be willing to be interviewed for
Because he's got handlers and layers and he's got to really guard his access.
Yeah, of course, right? And so the answer was no, that he didn't have time to participate in this, but, you know, thanks for asking, but no. And I was like, oh, what a bummer. That's so sad. Oh, well. then I was working on, I had a little weekend where I was at my, my friend let me use her cabin every now and then to crank away. And I was having this little weekend where I'm cranking on the book. And I had this little moment of craziness where I thought, you know, well, what do I have to lose? I'm going to email them again. And I wrote this really silly email to this representative, and I said, hey, you know, I know that George Clooney is a very photogenic and in-demand man. But what we're, what Laurie and I are really after here, we're really after Einstein, and we're wondering whether Einstein has any openings on his calendar for a photo shoot.
When you said that, I mean, people were cheering in the audience. Seriously, it's like, you go, girl!
And so I write this little note, and I'm looking at this email before I actually hit send, and I'm thinking, I'm a crazy person. Why am I can't believe I'm sending this email. But I did it, and I hit send.
I love its story.
And within like 2-3 minutes, he wrote right back, and he said, as a matter of fact, Einstein does have openings on his calendar. And I was just by myself in this cabin, and I jumped up and down, and I'm screaming like a maniac. I'm like, I can't believe this. We're going to get to meet Einstein. And the whole thing wound up working out, and you know, we got basically, there was this whole long process, but we were able to go to George Clooney's house in Los Angeles and do this, you know, 90-minute photo shoot with Einstein.
It was so funny.
And Einstein is so food focused. The chapter is hilarious. I mean, when you see all the crazy things that happened just on that one photo shoot, it's so funny and charming, and it makes you love George Clooney more than ever, and what a good guy, and that he agreed to participate in this ultimately.
And everybody, you know,
by
letting
us spend time with his dog.
Yeah, I think it's all
and answering some questions, you know, explaining why he
really
took in this dog
there
and
there with you. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and so it was, you know, again, it was one of these moments where we couldn't believe it, and the reason this is so exciting is that basically provides a good example, a really, really good example for others out there who, you know, have this light bulb go off and realize that this is a really great and meaningful, wonderful thing to do. And again, it's yet more evidence that it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from.
Right,
it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're George Clooney. It doesn't matter if you're an older person on disability, you know, living with, you know, serious health issues. It doesn't, you know, matter if you're in your early 20s, just launching your career, you know, struggling away in New York City. That all these different people who took in these older animals saw their lives get so much better. And it doesn't matter who you are. These dogs make your life better.
And apart from the wow factor, you're absolutely right. What an example. George Clooney could afford any dog in the world. And I've read stories where in China, you know, people are paying, I am not kidding, $1 million for some dogs.
Wow.
Because of it's a show of wealth in some of these countries. And I'm not saying that lightly. But George Clooney and his wife got a rescue dog. And that says a lot, and it's the cool, hot, hip happening thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. It is a delightful chapter. And, you know, take out the wow factor. And I think it's great that you left the picture of George till the very last of the feature, because it's like you might get distracted in the middle of that. But that was very good.
I'm so jealous of you,
though.
Laura.
What did
Lori? He's really cute.
You know, this is like Inside Edition. What did Lori say when you called her? Was there a lot of screaming? And
Oh, we were really excited.
Yeah. You've got to have some joy in loving that. And of course, I had to talk about it. So, Karen, you know, let's go down. Let's dumb it down here for a minute. No deprecation, none of that. But does it help when local celebrities and star people come and get interested? I mean, I know that you can use them in very strategic and impactful ways on TV shows and stuff like that. It does help.
Oh my gosh, it helps hugely. Like, sort of the quintessential local example is Erin Christensen. She's local forecaster, and we are in a critical overcrowding phase at our shelter right now. And so she, when we call and beg them, they come out, and she does the weather live from our dog play yards. And at each sort of, you know, every time they pan to her, she's holding a different dog, and she talks about why the dog is great. And she helps clear out our shelter. So it's huge. Those local celebrity endorsements are huge. We don't have, we have a no marketing budget to speak of. So these celebrity endorsements are so valuable to our pets that we couldn't do it without them. And I'm sure that this is really going to raise our local visibility too. So thank you.
I love that you told that story, and I love her. It's KOLD.
Actually, she's with K-Gun.
K-Gun.
And
my,
she's just
sorry,
Erin. She's a rock star, and she's so amazing to our pets.
And come out there and make it happen. So that's another example of people, and people love pets. My friend Michelle Germano used to be the news director at KOLD, and she said, you put pets up, even on their website, it grabs people. And hopefully someday it might flow over into adopting an old person instead of putting them out to pasture. But let's not go on to that. That's my sick humor. Okay, so let's go on to let's stay focused here. I know this might be a tough question, Laura, and we're going to go to a break so you have time to to think about it. But I want to know if there were favorites. Like, think about if you had favorites. There are so many favorites in the story. We'll never get to cover the three pages of questions that I have left to ask you. But I think there's some really important ones, and I'd love you to get to the ones about, like, the story about the vet. It's life-changing. And what happens to dogs that are doing, you know, tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and what happens to those? There's a real flip side to this that you touch in the book. It's a lighthearted, happy book, and it's also an intentional and meaningful book. And then maybe Karen can chime in about that. But I want to make sure that we get those. We got the George Clooney wow factor, but I think there are some more, you know, compelling stories that we can share about there. And every dog in this book is important and has a great story. But in terms of role models and even Bruce Nordstrom, it's like, this is a man that could do whatever he wanted. I loved the story about that. And is it Nico Case? Nico, you know me, I know who she is.
She's awesome.
Make sure. Nico Case, so we'll have to talk about that. So when we come back, we'll spend more time hearing great, compelling stories from Laura Coffey, My Old Dog Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts, and Karen Hollish from Pima Animal Care Center. We'll be right back, and please stay here with us. Did I do a little bit early? Do I have another minute? I'm so excited to get onto it. So, Laura, you ready to answer those questions when we come back?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, everybody stay here right with me. We'll be back in just 30 seconds.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's world is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's world sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thank you for being a part of it. We're spending this hour with Laura Coffey, author of the amazing and delightful book, My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. Laura is a writer, editor, and producer for Today.com, the website of NBC's Today Show. A journalist with more than two decades of experience, Laura has written and edited hundreds of high-profile books about human interest stories for Today since 2008, and joining us in studio is Karen Hollish, the Director of Development and Marketing at Pima Animal Care Center in Tucson, Arizona. Karen works with a small but mighty team who all work very hard to find homes for as many of the 20,000 pets that who come through the shelter each year as they possibly can. So thank you again both for being with us. Okay, Laura, so important, the stories about you know, let's do the vet story, because that really got to me, the post-traumatic stress. We have thousands of them in our country. Can you tell a little bit about that story?
Certainly, yes. So the My Old Dog book has a chapter in there about a retired military working dog named Chaney. And Cheney did multiple tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, sniffing out explosives there and helping keep, you know, troops and civilians, you know, on the people on the ground safe by finding these explosives. Right. And one of his handlers there was a Marine named Matt Hatala. And Matt was a wonderful young man, went over to Afghanistan, became a dog handler, worked really, really closely with Cheney, had this incredible bond with Cheney. And they worked together and covered so much ground on foot in Afghanistan. You know, it was just this unbelievable amount of work that they did together. And then when it was time for Matt to come home, he had a very, very difficult time readjusting to civilian life. You know, he went back home to Iowa, had a very tough time. Part of he saw terrible things when he was in Afghanistan, and he had a very difficult time dealing with that and processing that, but it was also really hard to say goodbye to his dog. And he lost his best friend, and then he has to come back, and then he feels like no one back home relates to him. He doesn't feel like anyone really understands him. The only people who could understand him would be his fellow Marines, but he never gets to see them anymore. And one thing leads to another, and the story goes through this long, you know, like a big labyrinth of a process that he had to go through to actually adopt Cheney when Cheney was ready for retirement. And he ultimately pulls this off, but leading up to that point, you see just the depths of how low he got and how hard this really was for him. And I think it says a lot about how challenging this chapter can be for many veterans, you know, who have returned home and feel like they're alone, feel like nobody understands them, find it very difficult to speak to anyone, find it difficult to reassimilate and connect with their families in the same way. It's just hard, very, very hard, to put it mildly. And anyway, he finally gets Cheney back into his life, and once he has his dog back, and he does view this dog as a fellow Marine and as a brother, and the therapeutic value of having this dog with him, he talked to the dog, and he didn't feel funny doing it. He just could talk to Cheney.
Yeah,
and
yes.
that was beneficial.
Yes,
getting back out in public with Cheney, the dog is a people magnet. Matt had been really isolating himself and having a difficult time connecting with people, and then when he's around, people come up and want to talk to him about this beautiful black lab he's with. And then what comes out is that they had served together in Afghanistan, and people would thank him for his service, and it ended up making him feel less alone, and made him realize not everyone's against him, and. You know, it was a profound effect that this dog had, getting this dog back in his life. And so what comes through in this chapter is the incredible potential value of veterans with PTSD having access to service animals, true service animals that they can bring with them in public.
Right.
And then you could go into the stores, you could have your friend with you and have your buddy with you, and what a big difference this can make in their lives as far as being able to get out and not be isolated. And they will be more likely to get out and not just stay in. If you have a dog to take care of, you've got to get out and walk that dog, and you're you know, going to be much more likely to get out. And then that ends up putting you in a pathway where you're going to connect with other human beings, which is so important.
And you know, just go to that chapter. And another, like, it's a really fine point about the book, and I've looked at lots of books, I've read lots of books, but there's a quote in the beginning of this chapter from Arnold Glasow, and it says, "A true friend never gets in your way unless you happen to be going down." I mean, if that doesn't jump out at people, so this dog brings out the best and can actually, you know, it's not an exaggeration at all to say dogs save lives without a doubt from suicide.
Matt says that this dog saved his life.
Yes, there's no doubt in my mind.
And you see, he really opened up in this chapter about what he was willing, where he was going, where he was heading.
Until the dog came back into his life. It was not an easy journey to get this dog.
No, that was probably the hardest chapter in the book to write.
I believe that.
And there's another one about a woman who was a widow, a 75-year-old widow, who was really struggling with anxiety and depression after her husband died very abruptly.
Yes.
And unexpectedly, her husband of 43 years, and she was really struggling with that loss, and And then shortly, right around that same time, her dog died. So now she's rattling around this big house in San Mateo, California, all by herself.
Yeah.
And she could not pull herself out of it. And she's a very upbeat and positive person, but this was not going well. And her adult children didn't live near her, but they could tell how badly she was doing. And so she ended up benefiting. This is a really wonderful provision that exists in many rescue groups and shelters around the country have this. She benefited from a Seniors for Seniors program in San Francisco that's offered by Muttville Senior Dog Rescue, wonderful senior dog rescue organization in San Francisco. They're great. But one of their flagship programs is a Seniors for Seniors program because they recognize that it's really good to match energy levels, you know, with people. At a certain point, you know, if you're an older person and you're dealing with, you know, loneliness, perhaps depression or anxiety, and you're suddenly finding yourself alone, or for whatever reason, it's good to match those energy levels and have a less rambunctious dog and have a wonderful companion come into your life. And it's the same thing, just as Matt, the veteran, benefited from having a dog to care for, got him out of the house, got him kind of connecting with people. This is what happened for this woman, and so she ends up taking in this little dog. Her name was Maddie. She took in a dog named Maddie. So Maddie, M&M, this little tiny Shih Tzu, adorable little dog, and she had not really been taking very good care of herself. She had not been getting out much, and then she gets the dog, and she feels obligated to go walk the dog.
Right.
And she meets neighbors, and she makes friends in the neighborhood, and by the time we catch up with her, she is... taking line dancing classes, she's volunteering at a women's jail, she has this rich volunteer life, she's seeing a personal trainer once a week, and she's doing all these things. And it's not that like magic pixie dust rained down and everything magically turned great as soon as she got the dog. It's not that simple.
No.
But it was the catalyst for her beginning that process of living again.
Right, to take baby steps
back. And beginning to get out
back.
There and connect with people.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And that was another chapter that was very affected me in a really big way.
Yeah, and you want to go get Maddie. I mean, that's like when you're talking about my kind of dog, I'll take Maddie. My granddaughter's name is Madison. Like, yeah, I'll bring Maddie home. And, you know, we have stories. One of my best friends, her husband died very, very suddenly, like cancer, and then gone in 3 months. And they've been married almost 50 years. And her dog, Annie, was her salvation. We all couldn't live with her, but I don't know what she would have done without Annie. I mean, that's up close and personal. Karen, do you have a story you want to share about that or just affirm this? You're shaking your head rigorously.
Well, no, we find a lot of folks in their golden years come into our shelter, and they've suffered the loss of a partner or their children have moved out. They're depressed, and adopting a senior dog just gives them someone to care for, someone to walk, and someone to love. Right.
Yes.
So we have aspirations of a really robust Senior for Seniors program. We're just dabbling in it now, but it's magical to watch these transformations.
Yeah, because you have 20,000 dogs that are there in the shelter that's
right.
full. But it's so real. And let's talk about Nico Case. She actually wrote the foreword for your book. She's a singer and songwriter. Tell us about that, and why was she so excited? Another star power.
Yes. So here's this wonderful, you know, Grammy-nominated, amazing singer. She did live in the Tucson area for a while. She also lived in the Northwest area near me. You know, so a lot of people around here are really familiar with her, too. But she is so talented and so amazing, but she's a lifelong animal lover. You mentioned Best Friends Animal Society. You know, with their no-kill philosophy, they're leaders of this no-kill movement. And that really resonated with her. So she's an ambassador for Best Friends Animal Society. And Lori Fasaro, the photographer for the My Old Dog book, works for Best Friends. And so one thing led to another. And through that Best Friends connection, we were able to contact Nico Case and ask her if she'd be interested in this. And Nico, it turns out, had actually adopted a senior shelter dog while she was living in Tucson. A dog who changed her life, you know, one of these big, you know, life-transforming moments for her, a dog named Liza. She jumped at the opportunity to participate in this, and she wrote this amazing foreword where she describes how much Liza meant to her. She actually also talks about, in a very, very open way, how much animals helped her through her whole life. She had a very difficult childhood, and she talks about how animals were her most, constant and trustworthy and consistent companions she could count on. And, you know, you count on them for, and I'm telling you, these animals particularly when they know they're in a good place, when they're relieved, and they know they've gotten out of a bad situation, and they're so relieved to be with you. They make such loyal friends. I mean, any animal lover knows this, but these rescued animals, they're the best friends. They never say the wrong thing. They are so focused on you, and they love you. They're so excited to see you coming home from the grocery store as a celebration.
So truly. I mean, they are man's best friend. And, you know, it's funny to me that some of the observations in going through this process of the wonderfulness of what you have done and the impact you've had and what Karen does here that I see on a regular basis. But there's a message here that you hit on. When you do something that you think is good, you're doing something good, you're going to get a rescue pet. Isn't it always the case that how the joy comes back to you a hundredfold? By doing that one kindness act, you know, the reward is yours. It never ceases to amaze me. And I hope that inspires people to go do it, because you will never be sorry. I don't think there's ever any regrets on this story. So I want to talk about, this is what I'm dying to ask you, and this is not in my list of questions, but are you going to make a movie out of this? If ever there was a movie, kiddo, the whole time I'm writing it, it's like, this is why I want a TV show, so that some of these dogs could be on, and you could be on, and Lori could be on, and, you know, George Clooney could be on. We'd find room for him.
I would like to help with that.
Yes, and you've got, like, you want me to carry your cameras? We're volunteers. But, I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying that. It's like, this is a movie. I mean, I think is there a way that you can even assess the goodness that's come about as a result of your hard work and publishing this book? But let's just call George and ask him if he's interested in backing a movie.
Yeah, My Old Dog, the movie.
No, yes, seriously.
It's very interesting that you're bringing this up, because it really had never occurred to me to turn this into any kind of a documentary or anything like that until I was at the Tucson Festival of Books. And at the Tucson Festival of Books, I was speaking on Sunday morning, and someone spoke up, I believe from the university, and she said, you know, you got to turn this into a documentary. This has to happen.
I love
and
it. I wanted to be the first one that came up with the idea.
I don't have any plans for that. That's a really good idea, but I don't know.
No, Lori, it is such a good idea.
It is a good idea, and it's just one of these things, because I'm so, you know, in writer and editor brain.
I know, but can you do that in your spare time?
It hadn't really occurred to me. and yet, it clearly, you know, I mean, the visuals and the stories are just so, there was a real effort to make these very real and very authentic, but not, you know, sappy, too sweet.
They're not.
You know,
they're not. They're real.
No,
this is real human interest.
These are people going through very real things.
The dark side, the bright side, the sad side, and all that stuff. So we're closing up in about 5 minutes. But before we do, I have one last question for both of you. And I want to do the shout outs for your social media first, so that I'm not, you know, screaming it out at the very end. Because if you want to have some fun, this is what the first thing I do. I'd go to My Old Dog Instagram. That's what I would do, because it's delightful. But the website is myolddogbook.com. And for Karen, it's pima.gov/government/pima_.
It's
what is it?
pima.gov/animalcare.
Pima. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah. I got it right.
It's
thank
much
you for
easier than
it
that.
Is pima.gov/animalcare. That's it.
pima.gov/animalcare.
Wow.
Just Google Pima Animal Care Center. You'll
Pima
find
it. If you Google it, I found it. And then for Facebook, My Old Dog. For Facebook, Pima Animal Care Center. And the same for Twitter, My Old Dog Book. And for Twitter, Pima Animal Care. And again, I said on Instagram, Karen, I don't have your Instagram. If you have one,
we need one.
You need one. Yeah,
we need. Well, this
you're
year,
busy.
It's a goal.
You're busy.
No,
we really, really busy.
We need to put our old dogs on. on the Insta.
Yeah, sure. On the Insta, because it's like the joy. I do the Instagram for Mrs. Green's World, and it's my happy place. And then I just want to do a shout out very quickly so that you guys have the list. Our Down to Earth show next week is Mimi Kumler, another rock star, chief nursing officer at Tucson Medical Center, talking about celebrating women's health. And then for our national show, my friend Layla Salazar Lopez, the Amazon Rainforest. She is the director of Amazon Watch. Lovely, passionate. She's going to bring us up to date and give us a report card on what's happening in that part of the world. So, Laura, just tell us, what's the thought you want to leave us with? And are there times when it ever hurt too much? I guess that's kind of what I want to know. Does it hurt sometimes?
You know, yes, I mean, as we discussed earlier, you know, there will be sadness anytime we ever say goodbye to any of our pets, but this whole realm of senior dog rescue is so infused with joy and happiness and meaning that it is worth it. It's the best. I have not yet met a single person who's been involved with this who said they wouldn't do it again. Every single person Lori and I encountered said that this is the best thing they ever did. They would never shy away from taking in an older animal again. So that says something, I think.
It says a lot. And stay tuned for the documentary, because I'll be watching. And you better give us the exclusive when that story breaks, because we want to get you right back on the air. I can tell you that. So call Lori and say, this woman's conspiring so that we do a documentary. And it started right here in Tucson, Arizona. And of course, then Nico would be on board because she's from here. So Karen, what about you? Does it ever hurt too much?
It's a bit of a unrelenting sort of choice I've made with this career. But, you know, just like you, you're kind of fighting an uphill battle with protecting our earth, you know.
To say the least.
I focus on the victories and the little faces who find their forever homes. And, you know, I really value knowing that we're making a difference here for senior pets in Pima County.
What an up note on which to end. Both of you, thank you so much. And everybody, check us out at Mrs. Green's World. All of the same handles, Mrs. Green's World on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And when you hear this, the joy that you'll feel is worth sharing. So click on that share button on Facebook or Twitter, or tell a friend about it so that we can help make this an even more robust, important, and intentional movement. Laura Coffey, thanks for showing up in my life. And Karen Hollish, glad to have you as my friend. Make it a great green. Recycle your pet day, everybody. Thank you.